Good morning, everyone. This time in our service where we take time to remember the sacrifice of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and to take communion together, please turn your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 2. What we're doing is taking communion today. It's not so much a lesson as it is more a longer communion to center our minds on, again, the sacrifice of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy chapter 2, beginning in chapter 2, verse 1, says, "You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." You know, I believe it's very important, you know, to take Paul's charge to be strong in the grace. You know, someone said to be strong in the grace or we won't be strong at all. You know, at times, you know, it's good to be reading different things from the scriptures just to kind of work on growing in our understanding of different things. And so just recently I started reading the book of Romans again. I know it's Francis's favorite book, but it is what a fantastic book. I know that one author said, or a commentator said, you know, if you get Romans, God gets you. Because when we understand the book of Romans, understand, which Paul talks about grace from beginning to end, you know, God really captures our hearts. And I started reading the book of Romans and reading other material just to deepen my understanding of grace, to be strong in grace. Because so easy, I've been a disciple for 26 years, to find myself often falling into the performance trap. You know, finding myself, whether it be motivated by people, motivated to please people, motivated by fear, motivated by the approval or acceptance of others, rather than simply being just motivated by the grace of God. And I read this quote I read. It said, "The key to failure is trying to please everyone." And it says it only leads to unnecessary stress and an unfulfilled life. But at times, life can be about trying to please people, trying to measure up. But when we understand grace, grace should be what motivates us in our lives as disciples of Jesus Christ. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7, actually we begin reading in verse 3, and just listen, Paul just goes on and on about the incredible spiritual blessings in Christ. But in verse 3, Ephesians chapter 1 says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding." Amazing. When Paul talks about the spiritual blessings in Christ, and of course he makes reference to the riches of God's grace. But when we look at the way that Paul spoke, it is obvious for Paul that it was a powerful, rich truth in his life. That he looked at it as the riches of God's grace. And he talks about how God's grace being lavished on us. You know, I'm not sure what you think about when you think about lavished. You know, some people might think about when they have whether it be some kind of sweet like ice cream, and they lavish all kinds of stuff all over their ice cream. You know, you think of lavish, you think about something in abundance. And that is what God had given Paul. And that is what God as well has given us in Christ Jesus. When you read through the scripture, Paul begins his letters and ends his letters talking about grace and peace be with you. Because he was one who was motivated and consumed by grace. You know, what is grace? Grace is God's unmerited favor. God's gift to us, as seen in the cross of Christ. Grace refers to the ultimate expression of God's love. Christ's atoning sacrifice for us while we were sinners. That Jesus gave himself for us to redeem us and purify us. And although we don't deserve it and we don't earn it, God still gives it to us. In Ephesians chapter 2, beginning right in verse 1, if you turn there. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1, it says, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and the rulers of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is at work in those who are disobedient. All of us lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we are dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are all God's handymen, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. You know, Paul, a couple times, talks about, you know, we are saved by grace. You know, often we need to remind ourselves more than once that, you know, we're not saved by our good looks. We're not saved by our personality, our good deeds. We are saved simply by the grace of God. And being saved by the grace of God is the heart of the gospel. You know, but at times, you know, why is it that we can feel more saved on the days when we're doing more good deeds, and we can feel less saved when we mess up and we sin? It's because we believe that our performance plays a role in saving us and as well keeping us saved. But it is only through the grace of God that we are saved. Being right with God is not about our performance, because we would, each and every one of us, would fail the test. Because as Paul talked about earlier, our performance made us objects of God's wrath. And so salvation is not about any righteous acts, but only because of God's grace. That we are fully accepted by God and treated by God just as if we have never sinned. That is what it means to be justified by grace. You know, at times there's tapes from our childhood, though, experience that keep playing in our minds. That, you know, well, you know, we will never measure up We need to do this to accept, to be feel accepted, whether by people, at times, we believe even accepted by God. But God just tells us, you know what? I love you just the way you are, and God just showers His grace upon us. In Titus chapter 2, if you turn there, you know, we are saved by grace. You know, but grace teaches us. When we understand grace, grace teaches us to look at things differently. To look at people differently. Look at our lives differently. In Titus chapter 2, in verse 11, it says, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age while we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us to redeem us all from wickedness and to purify for Himself a people that are His very own, eager to do what is good. You know, God's grace, it teaches us many different things. And I do believe that Paul spent a good portion of his life probably trying to grasp the incredible grace of God. And therefore he spoke so much about the grace of God. Because his life was marked by performance. And he had a lot to brag about. But he understood that it wasn't about his performance and what he accomplished. It was about learning and understanding the grace of God. And it said it teaches us to say no to ungodliness, worldly passions. That God's grace should never be a license to sin. God's grace should never be a license. Well, you know what? God will forgive me, so it doesn't matter what I do. God loves me, so it doesn't matter what I do. But it should be because of God's incredible sacrifice and love. It motivates us to live very differently. You know, when we're saved or rescued from something, there's always some kind of lesson to learn. You know, you think through life, you think about something in your life where you've had to be rescued from. You know, it teaches us different lessons about, hey, you know what, well maybe should have made some different choices. Maybe should have changed this or changed that. But that's why when we understand God's grace and who we were outside of Christ and what Jesus did for us on the cross and God's unconditional love, God's grace should motivate us to change. Where it teaches us to say no to ungodly acts, to say no to ungodly chatter, to say no to bitterness, and the list goes on. And teach us to say yes to righteousness, to say yes to forgiveness because of the grace of God. What we do should grow out of God's grace. It shouldn't be because whether it be the minister says something, you need to do this, or someone else says you need to do that. Simply be because of God's grace in my life. I'm going to live my life how God wants me to live, and I'm going to be eager to do what is good. God's grace motivates us. It keeps us going each and every day to live self-controlled, upright lives. It keeps us going to be a waiting people, waiting for eternal life, waiting for Christ appearing, and motivates us to be people who are eager to do what is good. You know, understanding God's grace and growing in God's grace, it means also extending grace. When we fail to pass on grace, we often forfeit its value in our own lives. You know, grace by its nature is not giving people what they deserve. And at times we might believe, probably judgment, but it's instead giving people what they don't deserve. Whether it be forgiveness and acceptance. You know, you think if you're a parent, you know, a child does something, you know what? You want to give them discipline. And at times, there's times and places for the appropriate one, but we're such in a, we live in such a world of, you know, being rewarded for the good and being punished for the wrong. When at times, extending grace when there is wrong. Grace is the idea that those who are deserving of nothing are treated as if they deserve everything. Grace is the idea that those who are deserving of nothing are treated as if they deserve everything. You know, isn't that a challenging concept to follow? That to extend grace, even when grace has not been extended to us. But the grace of God teaches us, it trains us how to relate to others in the same way. Understanding that the same way that God has shown grace to us is the same way that we show grace to one another. You know, logic says to put up our fists when we're wronged. Grace says to extend a helping hand. Logic says to strike your enemy. Grace says to turn the other cheek. Logic says he or she doesn't deserve it. Grace says you're right, but neither do you. You know, understanding God's grace and allowing it to work in our lives, it allows us to be free. It allows us to experience the incredible blessing of God. Because the more we understand grace, is the more we understand God's unconditional love, His unconditional favor, and it needs to motivate us in our day-to-day lives. Amen? So as we take communion this morning, let us remember the grace of God. To think about where you're at, think about maybe your last week, to think about maybe at times how you fell short. And to appreciate the incredible grace of God. And as you go forward and as you interact with your family, friends, co-workers, neighbors, disciples, let's remember, you know, God has extended grace to me. Let me extend grace to those around me. Let's go to our Father in prayer. Father, it is truly amazing. God, when we can read your word and we can talk about grace. And Father, as I think through my life and I think about how each and every day, God, I fall short. God, it's just amazing to think about your unconditional love. Father, the way that you bless unconditionally. And Father, the way that you don't give up on me, you don't give up on each and every one of us. And Father, thank you so much that you shower your grace upon us. And thank you, God, for sending your Son to die on the cross for us. Father, help us to never abuse your grace. Help us to never use it as a license to sin. But help us always to think about that incredible sacrifice at the forefront of our minds. And help it to fill our hearts with gratitude. And help us, God, allow it to motivate our hearts so that we're eager to do what you want us to do. Father, thank you so much for sending your Son. Thank you so much for his incredible example to us. Thank you so much for his death on the cross and for his resurrection. And Father, as we take the emblems that represent his body and his blood, Father, I pray that you help us to give thanks in our hearts for that incredible sacrifice, and Father, to live grateful lives each and every day of our lives. Father, thank you so much for loving us. Thank you so much for the incredible sacrifice of your Son, Jesus Christ. And Father, we take communion. Please bless our time together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.